This evening we invite you once again to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll once again read verses 13 through that to the end of the chapter. John writes, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses once again. As we continue on in that of our study tonight, the focus verses that are before us tonight are verses 18 and 19, where John writes, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." As we come to that of our text tonight, the first thing that we would remind you of is that of the context of that of our verses. John has come to that of the close of this epistle. He is writing his last few words of the letter, and he has given us that of the purpose statement for the whole epistle in verse number 13, where he writes, "These things have I written unto you, that ye may know," I believe on the name of the Son of God, "that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Now, when we first dealt with verse 13, we touched upon that of the word "know" there, and we pointed out that we have this word several times throughout that of the remaining verses that are before us. And in verse 13 we have "know." In verse 15 we have "know." We know that he heareth us. And then in verse 18 he says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." In verse 19, "We know that we are of God." In verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God is come." And so John is setting before us in his final few words to that of his audience and to us some certainties that we know, some things that we can be certain about, that we can stand upon here. Now, as we come to our text, the context here is that John has just spoken with regards to prayer in general, and then he has given that of a specific prayer or illustration of prayer, and that illustration was that of an intercessory prayer, a prayer for that of a brother. And of course, the example here is that of a brother who sinned. If a man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. The sin that he was speaking of was one that was visible. It wasn't one that was searched out here. And then he tells us that there is a sin not unto death. And we touched upon that as John spoke there in chapter 2, verse 1. He exhorted that of his audience not to sin, and yet he knew the fact that we are sinners, we're sinners saved by grace, and that there would be times that we would sin. And provision has been made for this very thing, which he spoke of in that of the first chapter of John. But also in the context, we have that of him speaking of a sin unto death. And he says, I do not say that he shall pray for it. So he speaks of two distinct kinds of sin. He speaks of that of sin that is not unto death, and then he speaks of sin which is unto death. And we told you that we believe that the specific sin unto death, that he has declared that throughout that of the epistle. And it's those who have apostatized, who have departed from that of the faith, and they're on that path that leads to eternal destruction. They've heard the gospel. They've even said they have believed it, and they've turned away from it, and they have departed from it. And in so doing, they have not believed the record of God, and they've made God a liar. Now, that's the context as we come into that of the verse which is before us, or the verses which are before for us. Now, as we look at verses 18 and 19, having noticed the context, we want to ask the question, what does John tell us here now in verses 18 and 19? He's been telling us some things that are certainties, some things that we can depend upon, that we can stand upon. Well, the first thing that he tells us in verse 18 is that we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, he uses that word know here. John is telling us that this is a certainty. We'll come back to that in just a few moments. As we come on down to verse number 19, he says, and we know that we are of God. And we know that we are of God. Or we belong to God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, the certainty that he declares before us here is that we are of God, or we belong to God. So those are the two certainties that are before us. Now let's look at these two certainties and the additional statements that John gives us along with that of these two certainties. The first certainty, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. You note that John uses a pronoun here of we. He's used we several times, the pronoun, throughout that of the epistle. He has used it in several different ways. He's used that of we, referring to that of himself and that of the other apostles. Over in 1 John, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which are with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. John there was speaking of himself and that of his fellow apostles. However, he's also used that of the we pronoun throughout the epistle to include himself along with that of the audience that he is writing to, those who are believers in the Son of God. And I believe that we can safely say that the we that we have here, and in verse number 19, likewise back in, there was another place, actually verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come, the pronoun we is that of John including himself and the audience. He says, we know. we know. We have knowledge, and this knowledge is something that is not just something that is a possibility, but it is a certainty. It is a certainty. And what is this certainty? What is this knowledge that is a sure thing? He says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That whosoever, there's a bug up here. Whosoever. Now, that word whosoever is a word that is very wide. But it is dictated by that of what he goes on to say. He says, we know that whosoever is born of God. The one that John here is speaking of is the one who is born of God. This is the one that he speaks of when he says, whosoever. Whosoever is born of God. Or it could be translated from that of the Greek, fathered of God. Whosoever is fathered of God. In other words, the birth that John here speaks of is a birth that is as one that we had absolutely nothing to do with. Absolutely nothing to do with. God is the source of it. He is the one who brings it about. Back up in chapter 5, he wrote, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. There's another place that he uses that phrase, born of God. But it's not just in here in chapter 5 he uses it. If you note back over into chapter 2, and in verse 29, he writes, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. The one who is born of him or born of God, John tells us here in verse 29 of chapter 2 that he doeth righteousness. He does righteousness. He practices righteousness. In chapter 3, and in verse number 9, he writes, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So here John speaks of the one who is born of God, that he does not commit sin, or he does not make sin a trade. It's not his course of life. And he gives a reason. He says, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. John is speaking of that of the one who is born of God, the one who is a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's speaking of that marvelous grace, transforming grace of God that is imparted to us. In chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, beloved, let us not love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Here he says, the one who's born of God loves. In chapter 5, verse 1, we've already read it. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The one who is born of God, he believes. He or she believes that Jesus is the Christ. The faith that John speaks of here is evidence. It's the characteristic of the one who is born of God. Now here in our text, John, he gives us a certainty again. And that certainty has to do with that of the one who is born of God. And it's not that he hasn't touched upon this already, as we've already noted in the verses that we just read over there in chapter 2 and chapter 3. But again, he wants his readers to know that whosoever is born of God, born from above, as it's spoken of in John chapter 3, born from above, he says, sinneth not. Now, the word sinneth there is in the present tense, and the ideal is that of continuance. It would be something that would be an ongoing thing. Again, the idea of practice, the idea of that of one's course of life being a course of nothing but sinning, walking in darkness, as John phrased it over in 1 John chapter 1. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He's of God. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. There's a lot here in this little statement that John makes. You know, we have a but he that is begotten of God, but he that is begotten of God. Now, the question that is raised here is who is the one that is begotten of God here? Now, we know that John has just spoken about being born of God. In the first part of verse 18, he says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He says, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Now, the way that it's translated here in the King James Version, the first reaction most likely would be that, an answer would be that it's the one that is born of God that is spoken of in the earlier part of the text. You note that he says, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. That last word there, himself, would seem to indicate that John here speaks of that of the one who is born of God that he spoke of earlier in the text. Now, I want to just depart from our epistle for a moment, and I want to read some verses to you. And this is in light of the view that one would take that this is that of the believer, that the believer keeps himself. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, and in verse 22, is it 1 Timothy? Paul writes to Timothy, he says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Paul advises Timothy with regards to that of himself, that he is to keep himself pure. To not be partakers of other men's sins. Over in James chapter 1. And in verse 27, James writes, let's back up to verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There again we have the word keep, and it has to do with that of the one here keeping himself from unspotted from the world. In Jude, the book of Jude, and in verse 21, John writes, or Jude writes, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God. And then lastly, in our chapter that we are in, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21, he writes, little children, keep yourselves from idols. So, you know, as we look throughout that of the New Testament and various other epistles, we see the ideal of that of the one who is a believer keeping themselves, you know. So there is that thought found in Scripture. However, as we come back to that of our text, he writes, we know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Note the last part. And the wicked one toucheth him not. Who is the wicked one? This morning, as Don dealt with that of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer being, keep us from that of the wicked one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us from evil, or that of the evil one. Here, John describes somebody here as that of the wicked one, or we could say the evil one. Who is this evil one? Over in John chapter 3. In chapter 3 verse 8, John writes, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested or made known, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and sleweth his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. John, when he speaks of that of the evil one, beloved, he's speaking of the devil. Now Peter tells us, the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If we look at our text, we know, John says, we are certain, we are assured that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Are we to believe that the one here is spoken, who is spoken of as keeping, that it is the believer and he keeps himself and delivers himself from that of the evil one, that the evil one doesn't touch him, that he has the power in order for that to take place? I don't know about you, but I don't want to go up against the devil. I don't want to go up against the roaring lion. And just one other verse from that of the epistle over in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 13. John says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. You have been victorious over the wicked one. How had they been victorious? Well, if we look over back over in chapter 5, John asks, whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God. And then in verse number 4, he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Who is the prince of this world, beloved? Is it not that of the devil? If you look in that of our text in verse 19, John writes, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, or is under the power of that of the wicked one. Now, not to deny that we should not do that which we read about, keeping ourselves in the love of God, keeping ourselves from idols, keeping ourselves from unspotted, being spotted by the world. We ought to do those things. But here in that of our text, the one that John speaks of here, but he that is begotten of God keepeth, is not the believer, but rather, beloved, it is none other than that of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the one who is begotten of God. He's the one who keeps. And in the other later translations, it is translated, he who is born of God keeps him. He who is born of God keeps him. The pronoun himself is translated him. Let's look at some other verses out of the epistle here for a moment. Over in John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verses 12 through 15. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. And he wrote, while I was with them in the world, speaking of the disciples, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things that I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. That is, the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So here we have the Savior in his intercessory prayer, prayer to his Father. He's interceding in that of our behalf. And what is the request? That he would keep us. That God would keep us. Over in that of 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 5, Peter is writing and giving praise to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, His mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Here we have Peter speaking of us being kept by the power of God. In Jude, verse 24. Jude writes, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." To him that is able. Our God is able, beloved, to keep us. We're kept by his power. Protected by that of his hand. Over in John chapter 10. Verses that we know very well here. John chapter 10, verse 28. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Beloved, the child of God, the one who is born of God, they are kept by the power of God. They're in that of the Savior's hand, and they're in that of the Father's hand. There's no way or any possibility of one being lost. We know, John says, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth him, and that wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one, that evil one, the devil, toucheth him not. The word touch here, the thought here is to do that of harm. To do that of harm. The wicked one toucheth him not, does not do any harm to him. He's not able to. In verse 19, he gives us another certainty. He says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." We know that we are of God. We belong to God. We belong to God. Think about it, brethren. You and I, we belong to God. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price, Peter tells us. Oh, we belong to Him. We are His special jewels. Chosen jewels. Satan is no longer our master. No, beloved. Our master is the Lord Jesus. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Two groups are spoken of here. John has throughout that of the epistle constantly showed that there are two kinds of people. And here, as it comes to a conclusion, he tells us, here's the bottom line. You either belong to God or you belong to the devil. You're under His power. He's your master. He's your master and you're His servant. The whole world here, that is the whole world in contrast to those who are not of the world. That is, they're not of that of the multitudes of wicked ones. But they're of God. Do you know where you stand today? What group do you find yourself in? The only hope for any is that of Jesus Christ. He's the only deliverer, the only Savior. Deliverer from that of the devil. He's the one who has taken us out of darkness, Jesus is, and has delivered us, transported us into the kingdom of His. Of His. If we are one of His. All right, let us stand and we'll have a photo. On the back of the bulletin, we have that old hymn that we sang this morning, stanza of. This is one of the days. Look to the Lamb of God. Let's start with the second stanza. When Satan's tempting fears assail, look to the Lamb of God. You in His strength shall over all prevail. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look. Are you a weary? Does the way seem long?
Look to the Lamb of God. His love will cheer and fill your heart with song. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Fear not when shadows your pathway fall. Look to the Lamb of God. In joy or sorrow, Christ is all in all. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For he alone is save you. Look to the Lamb of God.
All right. I would remind you that next Sunday at this time we will have a business meeting. So we encourage you to put that on your calendar. It is in the bulletin. And we'll have that next week. All right. I'm going to ask Brother Don if he'll lead us in the closing word.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for loving us in Christ Jesus, for giving him to us. Father, we rejoice that he is our Savior, that he is our protector, that in him we are safe. Lord, we do praise you for the gift of this wonderful grace in Christ, and Lord, for all that we have in him. Lord, we know that it is your love that is the fountain of all love that has come to us through Christ by the power of thy Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that we might know more of the things of Christ, and be filled with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, may we each be conformed more closely to the image of Christ. And then, Father, Lord, may in thy power and grace, Lord, patiently waiting and watching, Lord, letting our light shine before this present moment. Now, Father, we do commit this week to thee. We pray your blessing. Bless our families, bless the gospel to their hearts. Lord, may the gospel go to the ends of the earth with your great power. Bless your servants, those who stand in Christ's stead, Lord, thy people, wherever they are. Father, now we pray that you would cause your face to shine upon us so that we can know your fellowship this coming week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you for watching.